All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get started with part two, how to walk into a church. Father, thank you for the opportunity to come again to your word and to be reminded of the doctrine of the local church. And we're grateful for this visible manifestation of the household of God and the mystery of the gospel and bringing us as individuals and now putting us together into one body, that we might love one another, serve one another, and manifest the glory of Christ not only to each other but to a watching world. Help us, Lord, today to be convinced of the primacy of the local church, the importance of it, and stretch us a little bit and teach us, encourage us as well, all the more as we see the day approaching. In Jesus' name, amen. As you know, this is the second part of just a two-week short series before Phil starts and before I go downstairs somewhere, room to be determined, for a parenting class. But for today, we're doing part two on a little tiny book, little skinny little book called How to Walk into Church by Tony Payne. You can take a look at that later if you'd like. Last week, we talked about the first three issues that he brought up. One is he asked the question, how to walk into a church, and we answered that praying by, you walk into the church, the gathered church, the gathered corporate gathering on Sunday morning, you walk in praying where to sit. Praying where to sit. Now you say, well, I wasn't here. I can't reinvent the whole thing, but that is a perfect mindset of walking into the church, depending upon God in prayer and thinking about your ministry to others. Lord, where do you want me to sit? Who do you want me to minister to today? And the reason that we pray that way when we walk into the church is because of what the church is. And so we talked about, what is this thing we call church? We said it's a people. It's a people that God has called out for His own purposes. Not for our purposes, but for His purposes. To gather, what is that purpose? To gather a redeemed people around Jesus Christ, to worship and praise Him forever. So why am I walking into the church? Because of what the church is. We are part of the same family. And we reflected that, wow, that's this great gathering that God is going to have in the end. It's going to be wonderful. We talked about that in Hebrews chapter 12. But the difference now, as we manifest that in the local church, the difference is we still have S-I-N. We still have sin around. And so that's why we're walking into the church, not only because we're family, but because there's sin and we need each other. Because of sin, we need each other to encourage one another, to exhort one another, sometimes to rebuke one another. We need each other. So, church is an opportunity to love your brothers and sisters, whoever they are, wherever they are at in their walk with Christ, to seek to build them up in Christ. And sometimes we think about church as we walk in, Lord, what do you have for me today? Now, on the surface, there's nothing wrong with that, because the Lord wants to feed and equip you through His Word and other people, but it isn't about you passively sitting around, why will not someone? No. It is not about you. It's about Christ and His purposes, which are for others. And so we're going out. We're seeking others to encourage them. And as we said, all the more as we see the day approaching. So that's kind of what we talked about. And we kind of said that was kind of doctrinal last week. But today we're going to get even more practical with it. Very practical. What does that look like then? Well, it can look like many different things. And of course, whenever you get practical and tell people what it should look like, everyone says you're legalistic. So I'm going to risk it today that you won't think that way. That these are suggestions and ideas that your family and your age and your situation will look differently, but these might give you some good ideas to put it into practice. Okay? So what we're going to do then, we're going to think about that room right there when we walk in. We're going to think about the corporate gathering of the body of Christ on Sunday mornings. We're going to think about that flagship meeting, as we could call it. And we're going to get a timeline in your notes around that time. Before, during, after, right away, and then a little bit longer afterwards. And we're just going to reflect in some of the things we might do in the context of the timing of that main gathering of the church in a local assembly. You get it? So number one, before I walk into church. Before. So this is a little hard-hitting. Don't be offended today, please. I'm not saying everybody's in this place. I'm actually saying that I've been here, and frankly, even as one of the pastors of this church, sometimes I'm in these places. You realize that sometimes I'd rather just sleep in and not be here? Before I walk into church, here is one thing. The first thing we need to do is we need to determine to go to church. Before we walk in, we've got to determine to go. This is big. It's so simple, but it's huge. We need to make a decision to gather with the saints, the called out ones, to encourage one another towards God's purposes, week in and week out. We need to make a decision to be here unless providentially hindered. Now, this society that we live in and apparently not in Peru, I just got a download yesterday about Peru, and everything moves slower there, right? Almost painfully slow, apparently. Here,
painfully fast.
Way too fast. For a variety of different reasons. So maybe, we're not here because family events, children's sports, just being tired, bad weather, at the cabin, visiting relatives, late Saturday night, work deadlines, school deadlines, on and on and on it goes. In our culture, there's way better reasons to stay home than to go. Yeah. Let me say that again. In our culture, you're going to find way more reasons to not go to church than to go to church. For sure. And if you are finding it easy to go, you should talk to me and maybe help me with scheduling and how to simplify your life. I'd like to hear from you. So I like what the author of the book says. He says, quote, "In reality, what really stops many of us from turning up more frequently to church is a failure to grasp just how vital the ministry of turning up really is." End quote. Now listen to me. The ministry of just being here, the ministry of turning up, is huge when it comes to the local church. He goes on to say that every time I walk into church, still quoting the author, every time I go into church, I'm wearing a metaphorical T-shirt that says, quotes, "God is important to me and you are important to me." And on the back it says, "And that's why I wouldn't dream of missing this." End quotes. You simply, guys, the ministry of just showing up. You can't disciple people, love people, talk to people, encourage people, gather around them with the corporate praise and the Word of God and the ordinances. You can't listen and respond to God's Word if you're not there. Showing up is probably way more than half the battle. Showing up is way more than half the battle. It really is. Sometimes I wish the sermons weren't recorded. I really do. I really do. I wish they weren't recorded. I do. I really do. For a lot of reasons, actually. Many different reasons, but that's one of them. So the first thing, before we walk in the church, we've got to decide to go. Number two, we need to pray. Now, I understand that immediately as we're walking the door, Lord, where would you have me to sit? But I'm going to go behind that. I'm going back in time, even before in prayer, about the local church. To pray on Saturday night, to prepare on Saturday night for the Sunday gathering, to pray about it. To pray for the church service. In fact, in that library right there at 10 after 8, we have a group of people that pray for the service, for the upcoming service. And so you could make a commitment to maybe be here and pray with that group in the library. That would be a way of preparing your heart and praying for the service. Spurgeon said the success of his ministry wasn't due to the fact that he was Spurgeon. It was due to the group of people that were praying throughout the service for the power of the gospel to be released in that service. So what can we pray for? What can we pray for? Let me give you some ideas of things to pray for the service. We can pray that God would bring people who are wavering and uncertain about coming. We can ask the Lord to be with us through His Spirit, to speak to us in the Word of God, to really do it. And that we would speak to one another in the songs that we sing. We can pray for the Sunday school teachers and all those who serve in the church, that they would serve the Lord with joy and in the power of the Spirit. We need to pray that the Holy Spirit would come and be with us and work powerfully in the heart of every single person, that they would be changed into the image of Jesus Christ. We ought to gather with our families and pray for the service and prepare for the service Saturday nights. That's one of the things. We can decide to go and then we can pray. Third idea is to think. Of course, that prayer ends as we enter the door. Lord, where would you want me to sit today? Okay? Now, to think. The third thing we can do before we get to church is to use our brains to think. Remember, the author of Hebrews said in Hebrews 10:24, just write the reference down, he said, "Let us consider how to stir one another up to love and to good works." Right? "And to not forsake the gathering of ourselves together, such is the habit of some, but to encourage one another all the more as we see the day approaching." Stirring each other up to love and to good works, encouraging one another. But to think beforehand, to consider how to do this. There's a thought process. Lord, maybe it's the directory. Maybe it's Saturday night. It's the directory where you open up the directory and you page through and you see the pictures and you see the names. And you go, "Oh, man, I'm going to pray. Oh, I need to encourage, or I need to encourage over there." And so you're getting intentional. You're thinking, you're considering, where are they? And you're thinking about how I can come alongside of them and get to know them and build relationships and all of that. So there's a thinking that can go on before we enter the church. Let me give you some more help here. One of the things you can do to prepare to minister to one another is to look in the bulletin for today. Look in the bulletin to see what the passage will be next week. So next week it's Galatians chapter 2, you guessed it, 6 through 10, part 2 of recognition of the gospel, part 2. So you could read that over with your family. You could maybe read it over on Saturday night and make observations. What are some other things? What are the other four things that Pastor Jeff is going to find? I'm going to see if I can find him here, that he's recognizing, that the pillars are recognizing about Paul, that authenticates his apostleship. And so now you're ready and you're amening it. You kind of get it. You have questions. And that helps you attend to the sermon, and that helps you be prepared with that of the people you're thinking of how to even minister the truth specifically to them. So it's just an idea. That that I call it a bulletin. Well, we use the directory.
But sometimes I have to delete it because of space reasons.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Okay, well let's try not to delete it if we can.
Yeah.
Now, but so the directory, that's who's in this church. That's a tool for discipleship. The bulletin is a tool for discipleship. Looking to see what the next passage is going to be. This is funny to me, just maybe because of my background, but you know, the church in Corinth is given such a bad rap. Am I right? But the church in Corinth in 12, 13, and 14 was given a bad rap because they did too much ministry with each other. No, they were out of control. They didn't speak. You know, some of them were pleasing themselves and they're using the gifts in a different way, in the wrong way. But they were talking too much of the Word of God. You know, and it's funny. What's our problem now? Well, it's the opposite. You know, mum's the Word. It's kind of ironic to me. So one of the things you can do is put your thinking cap on. You can read the Bible passage over, reflect on it, be ready to bring those insights and questions to other people in a way that would please the Lord. I mean, what would happen if even as a fellowship, the members of this church began to prepare like this, to pray and to think and to be ready to equip. So, that's what some ideas about before we walk into church. Secondly, let's talk about the main service now. Now we're in the door. We're in the church. And once we're in the church, that's where all bets are off. That's where you say, now it's me and God. Finally, I can get it to be me and God. I'm actually in the door, sitting down in my favorite chair to receive from the Lord. It's still not only you and the Lord. There are ways here to think about others even inside of the church. First of all, where are you sitting in that in that? Maybe you need to sit by someone else so that you can encourage them, praying where to sit. Maybe it's a different spot. So let me give you three different suggestions when you're inside the church building to think about how we're using this. This church is not about me. It's about God's glory. And He's saving people for a purpose. And I'm here to move it along. I'm here to be an instrument of discipleship so that more people would take a step closer in their walk with Christ. One step closer to being without sin and gathered around the people of God, around the throne room of God. And I'm all about that purpose. So I'm going to get busy doing it. So here's a couple ideas. Number one, when we sing. When we sing, turn to Colossians chapter 3. When we sing, it's not about us. After I walked into church. So, number one, oh, I'm sorry. What did I do? Okay, before I walk into the church, okay, and then after I walk into the church. That's what we're on. Second point. Colossians chapter 3. Think about our worship service. Let's find Colossians 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ, the word about Christ, richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. So when you're singing, in the corporate worship service, you ought to be singing. No, let me say that again. when you're singing in the corporate worship service, I don't think you can obey that passage unless you open up your mouth. Have you ever thought about that? It actually tells you to sing. It doesn't say sing well.
Thank you. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Salvation is by... It's to sing. And the singing isn't just singing songs that you like.
Yeah.
In fact, you sing the songs that you don't like the loudest, because that's an attitude check. Because now it's not about you that I like or don't like this song. It's about the other person that is really liking this song, really growing through this song. And it's about them. And you sing what? With joy and thankfulness in your heart. There's a heart check in our singing. And the text actually says that we're singing truth about Christ, and we are singing to teach and exhort other people around us. We're singing the gospel truths for others within the church. It's a very big deal. When you come into this church, you are discipling others. You are pressing the purposes of God in this church when you open up your mouth and sing. It's part of discipleship. Sing. Let it rip. Number two, when you listen to the sermon. Finally, we're going to get to the part where I can be passive. It's not a, okay, well, maybe this is easier to talk about as the guy who's often up there preaching. Where you're just, okay, now I'm just focusing on God. I'm listening, receiving the Word of God. But there's actually a lot you can do to help the preacher and the congregation and disciple them and encourage them and stir them up to love and to good deeds all the more as we see the day approaching. During the sermon. There is. Well, there's a way to serve your brothers and sisters, to disciple them. Let me tell you, I would know. There's a big difference. I'm going to try to make a joke of this so no one get offended. Please. Look. If the congregation, and by and large, we have a congregation that is absolutely hungry for the Word of God. Praise the Lord. It's nothing worse than preaching to people who don't want to be there and don't want to hear the Word of God. But so we, by and large, we're doing really well at this. But one of the ways you can engage is to engage with the preacher. Now, this is risky for me to talk about this. This is where the legalism comes in. But I'm going to go there anyways. Not everybody likes to take notes, but if you're a note taker, take notes. You know, listen to this sound. Best sound in the world. Flip into a passage in Scripture. You know, maybe someone laugh at one of my jokes, even if they're bad. Someone. Disciple me, please. Disciple me. Eye contact. I like to make eye contact and stuff. Look, I kid you not. I would rather you make an absolutely funny face, and some of you do, when I say something that you don't get or you disagree with. Like, I like it. You know why? You're listening. And we're interacting.
Amen.
Thanks, Chris. You're getting it. Yeah. All right. So take that with a grain of salt. But look, checking your email, cruising around the web, taking a nap, looking like you'd rather not be there, is not discipling the brothers and sisters next to you, nor yourself, nor your pastor. Now, someone who's not in this room today doesn't sleep all Saturday night. All Saturday night because of his job. And they come here because they want to hear the Word of God. And they sometimes nod off, they do the best they can. There's not legalism here. The fact that they're even here, amazing. So there's some pretty funny scenarios that I see. I get the permanent grumpy look. I get the invisible fairy hunter look that the author brings up, where they're just looking around the auditorium thinking about how to remodel it. Like you're Captain Hook searching for Tinkerbell. I get the look on the face of someone who's been administered a horse tranquilizer. Just constant, like, whoa. I get the dipping duck. But don't just hear me. I'm trying to make you laugh a little bit, but the idea here is how we listen to the sermon is not just about us, it's about others. It's part of discipleship. Now the third idea is the nuts and bolts. There are little things you can do during the main service. If someone doesn't have a Bible, you can get them a Bible. You know, I forgot to do the page number today. Whatever. So you see someone next to you who doesn't have a Bible. They're kind of scrounging for the bulletin. They're looking at under the thing. That's a hymn book. They put it back. Get up. Go get them a Bible. Hand it to them. Open it to the passage and give it to them. Now you're looking for others. You're looking to disciple others in the service. If it's too hot in there, I mean, sometimes in the summer, I don't know what it is, but I mean, I'm sweating. And maybe you are too. Get up. Find a deacon or open a window. Fix it. Love sees a need and tries to meet it. One of the key things I want to say in this inside the service is newcomers. We had a new couple here today. Anybody know that? We had a new couple today. So what are we doing when it comes to pressing forward the purposes of the kingdom with a newcomer who comes into our family gathering? Look, when I first was dating Jody, Don and Naomi are great, but initially it was nerve-wracking coming into a new family. It really was. They made it easy. But they're coming into our family gathering. So what are we doing to disciple them, to put them at ease within the service? We should be thinking of that as we assimilate people into this church. Maybe you should sit next to them. Maybe you should introduce yourself. Help them find their way. Okay, third, right after church, right after the service, that is, right after this church service. When the church finishes, but the church doesn't finish. Sometimes after Pastor Don's benediction, it's like a starter gun goes off. And they're out, and people are out the door. But that's not when church ends. That's when the corporate gathering ends. So the church doesn't actually finish it. It's not just a bunch of things that we do together, like preaching, singing, taking the offering, doing the announcements, taking communion together. No, remember, it's a body, it's a family gathered here for God's purposes, the purposes of anticipating that future gathering where we all worship Christ together, and we're encouraging each other along the way. So when church finishes, that's in many ways when church begins. Let's say that again. When church finishes, that's in many ways when the Hebrews passage, Hebrews 10:24, begins. So the church is not just I admit that this room, it's been great, but it gets crazy in here, the CE fellowship, all of that. But what can we do during that half hour and afterwards, before the service, half hour afterwards, what can we do to obey Hebrews chapter 10, to consider how to stir one another up to love and to good deeds and to encourage one another all the more as we see the day approaching? I think it's a fair question. How do we obey that passage? How do we encourage and exhort? Well, here's some ideas. One time I got rebuked for talking about the Vikings here at church. I get it. I probably shouldn't have in the fellowship hall. But they were playing. Anyways. I got really rebuked, and I actually appreciated that. That was somebody who was interested in discipling me. Now, what is there to talk about when it comes to the Vikings anyways? It's a short conversation, right? Now, so what I think we need to, why don't you turn to 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians 4. I hope I got there. No, it doesn't seem right. Maybe it is. Well, yeah. Okay, let's do 17. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 17. Speaking some amazing doctrinal truth about the second coming of Christ in verse 17. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. Look at verse 18, though. Therefore, last verse of the chapter. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. That is discipleship. So when you come to the sermon, you're prepared to come in. You've heard the sermon. You know, maybe you should think about building some of your conversations around the Word of God with each other. And even from the sermon or previous sermons or your own devotions, and you're praying for these people. You got the directory, you're praying for them, you're getting to know them, you know what they're struggling with, and you can bring encouragement to them from God's Word. Let me give you some practical help. I'm going to get real practical. Here's how you do it. Here's one way. What did you get out of the sermon today? Sometimes that too general of a question leaves people kind of stumped. So maybe when you're listening to the sermon, you jot down a question or a key point that challenged you, and you share that key point with someone after church, or you ask them a question, see if they can help you answer it together. You get to the bottom of it. And maybe, so here's an example. That was really interesting what the pastor said this morning about forgiveness. I never really understood the connection between God forgiving us and us forgiving others. What do you think? Now, this will sometimes lead to an interesting and edifying conversation over the Word of God. Did you hear what I just said? Sometimes. Sometimes. Let it go. It's okay. Sometimes, here's what you get. Sometimes you show enthusiasm for the Word of God and listening to the sermon, and the conversation is cricket, cricket, cricket after that, and you basically walk away saying, I'll take that as a no. And my answer to you is you still discipled them. You showed that you were excited about the Word of God, that you are leading by example and applying the Word of God and speaking about the Word of God. They may have had a really tough morning. Did you ever think about that? They weren't prepared. In fact, they're here because their mom and dad made them be here. And another kid's talking to a kid and they get shut down. Look, are you okay? Can I pray for you? Seem a little discouraged today. What can I pray for you about? We're not always going to have, you know, these flaming good theological conversations with each other, but we need to start somewhere. And we need to be okay with someone not responding because you have discipled them by your enthusiasm for the Word. Another thing you can talk about with people is you know, hey, what is the Lord doing in your life this last week? And in fact, Bruce, I forgot, how did the Lord save you again? And we could talk about what the Lord is doing in our life. Theoretical. And then Bruce shares, maybe we could talk about our testimony. It's amazing. When you look around the room, how many of the people in this room do you know how God called them out of darkness and into light? So it's an idea of things to talk about. Prayer. Bill, is there anything I can pray for you about? And then go ahead and pray for them right there. And let me talk again after the service about the newcomers. Identify newcomers. You say you ought to have an assimilation program and have people whose job it is to identify newcomers. I didn't get the memo. I didn't get the email. I don't know that. I'm not doing it. I understand that. I mean, I grieve a little bit sometimes at some things. I do. But when it comes to assimilation. But what about all of us saying, hey, there's a newcomer. They're in our family meeting and they're actually in here. Let's talk to them. Let's introduce ourselves. Maybe you invite them over for lunch and get to know them and tell them about the church. That's a huge blessing to me when people do that. Huge blessing to me. So just ideas about how you're discipling people who are here. It's kind of awkward for newcomers. Not sometimes, not most of the time. Most of the time, especially in our type of church. I'm being mean here. I like our church. Our type of big-headed theological church. Now, we're getting to one another. We are just excelling and more, all the more. If you were here 10 years ago, you know what I mean. If you weren't, don't be offended at that. We're doing better. But we can excel all the more in this. We really can. And sometimes in our circles of coming to hear the preacher preach the expository sermon, we forget what church is all about. It's not about you hearing anything. It's about others hearing that and you being equipped through that message to help your family, to help your husband, to help your neighbors, to help the people in this church. And until we look outside of ourselves to put the word into practice in the context of others, we never really get the word of God anyways. We never really understand what it meant really anyways. So we're not even getting the big head out of the deal. Because we only know until we practice, according to the Psalms. We only truly know until we experientially know. You don't know what it's like to say a soft word turns away wrath until you decide to close your mouth on that freeway.
Yeah.
Or in that line. Then you go, oh, wow. I could tell you stories. Good and bad stories. Stories that involve baseball bats, where I learned to keep my mouth closed. So there's lots of ways church continues after church, but there's no shortage of opportunities. As we close the next few minutes, understand, remember how to walk out of the church. That's the last heading. Is that the last heading? How to walk out of the church. Well, remember that many people are walking out of the church and they're never coming back. Let me say that again. Many people will walk into our church and they will never come back. They won't. For a variety of different reasons. Maybe I'm not obnoxious from the pulpit. Can I get an amen? A little loud, a little obnoxious. Whatever. There's a number of different reasons, but I don't want it to be because we did not reach out to them because someone else is going to reach out to them. I don't want it to be that. So some people come into the church and they never come back. Some people won't come back because they're scared of church. They've been hurt in churches. The church has seriously burned them. Abusive leadership, personal conflicts, relationships, manipulation, hypocrisy. It's just nasty. The church is messy. S-I-N. And we need to recognize that church is not satisfying to people and church has seriously burned people. And we need to, when we think about how we deal with people within this church, we need to be okay with that being real. And be okay with hearing those kinds of stories and ministering to people in that context. Okay? But how do you walk out of the church? Let me just close by a passage and then we'll close. In Ephesians chapter 5. So flip over, take a left if you were in 1 Thessalonians. Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 15 and 16. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So how do you walk out of the church? The wise way to walk out of the church is with the Word of God on your heart, on your lips, determined as an individual, as a family, to live out the discipleship that you've given and received that day at that church. To live it out in the context you're in. Determined. How you walk out of church is praying for wisdom, because the days are short and evil, of how to walk circumspectly in your communities, in your workplaces, in your families, in your marriages, with your kids, to live out the truth of the gospel. That is how you walk out of the church. And when you walk out of the church, remember that the building does not characterize us. The people characterizes us. You know what? Your brothers and sisters may need you on Tuesday. They may need you on Wednesday at 2 p.m. They may need you at Thursday night at 4 in the morning. We're called to be there for each other. And the church in that sense does not end. So I think that's how God wants us to walk into the church. You can see why I like that little book. Very helpful little book. And I think I'll just close by this verse. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 says that we here at Grace Community Bible Church, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. We're not created by good works. We're created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So let us walk into the church with the great purposes of the church, the glory of God and the good of others on our hearts and minds. You know what? You're going to be fed and blessed all along the way. Amen? Amen. Father, thank you for this little book. It reminds us that there are others who have labored in the Word and that can be a help to us. We're thankful for them. We pray now today that you would send us out with that wisdom, with that determination, not to be just hearers of the Word today, but doers. Lord, we need your help. Holy Spirit, make us and change us in 2019 more into the image of Christ, so that at the end of this year we would look back and say, by God's grace, I've grown. I've grown. Thank you, Lord. Help me to help others to grow now. So, Lord, just make us more and more like that. Thank you that you love us. You'll never leave us nor forsake us as individuals and as a church. Make us to stand upon the Word of God, just like we heard in the sermon, but make us to love one another, that the world might know that we are Christians by our love. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right. Hey, we actually are only 2 minutes over. Yes. Let's get an announcement. Yeah. And then
postscript to my earlier message. Does anyone know where that location of that...